Since last year, I have started to preach according to John, and we have just covered, for so many months, we have just covered chapters 2, 3, 4, 5. And if you can recall, chapter 2, we talk about the first miracle, where Jesus turned the water into wine. Chapter 3, born again, for God so loved the world. Chapter 4, Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman, and followed by the second half or the last part of chapter 4, the healing, and also beginning of chapter 5, another healing. And today, I will jump to chapter 7. Then tonight, together with 30 of our members and 10 more from other churches, we are leaving for Israel. A great time. I look forward to that. And then we will come back on the 15th of April. And the following Sunday will be the Palm Sunday. And I will preach John chapter 8. Then during the Holy Week, Wednesday evening, instead of our regular prayer meeting, we are coming together in this sanctuary to have a very special prayer of the Holy Week. And I will touch on John chapter 13, which happened on Thursday, but I use the passage for Wednesday. And Thursday evening, we are going to have the Maundy Thursday Holy Communion right here as well. And I will come back to John chapter 6 to preach about the Holy Communion. And we receive the Holy Communion to remember the Last Supper of Christ Jesus and his disciples. And Friday morning, on Good Friday, we are coming together to have a combined service, a morning prayer. I will continue John chapter 6. And then on Easter Day, also a joint service, I'm going to touch on John chapter 20 about the resurrection. So today we will come to John chapter 7. So if you can recall, and you have to, chapter 2, the first miracle, chapter 3, born again, chapter 4, Samaritan woman, and then healing. And what is chapter 6? What is chapter 7? You must be able to remember the main theme or the outline of the passage. And then you need to continue to ask, why did John present the gospel or present Christ Jesus in this way? What did he trying to tell us? And then you can have the gospel, to understand the gospel, and the word of Christ will be dwelt deep in your heart. And when we come to chapter 7, what is it all about of this whole chapter? One word, confrontation. Jesus was facing a lot of people. Many of them received healing. And even more, they receive the food as 5,000 men, and then plus women and children, receive the food from the 5 fish and 2 loaves. So when come to chapter 7, we need to understand the background that lead to the confrontation. And verse 1, we can see the Jews was seeking to kill him. Why? Why did they want to kill Jesus? And the brothers of Jesus disbelieved in him. In fact, they felt embarrassed. Why we have a brother like that? It's a shame of us. Not of our family, but our village. And they cast him out. But in order to understand this, We need to look at the whole chapter. So if you have the Bible before you, you may want to open at John chapter 7. So you can follow as I go on. After this, the beginning words of chapter 7 is, after this, whenever you read the Bible and you come across words like this, you have to ask, after this, what is this? Then you have to go back to chapter maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and to link up what happened before that. And if you look at the headlines, from verses 1 to 13 of chapter 6, Jesus fed the 5,000, feeding of 5,000. And then chapter 6, verse 14, when the people saw the sign, and some said, this is indeed the prophet. They come to a very close contact with Christ. And who is he? And some said, he is indeed the prophet. And in fact, these people, they didn't just see the sign. They received a direct benefit. They ate, and they were filled with the food of the fish and the loaf. But interestingly, or beyond our imagination, verse 15, they forced to make him king, and Jesus withdrew. They have totally different understanding. They thought, here comes the king. Then we would not be under the Roman Empire anymore. We are going to re-establish the kingdom of Israel. And this is an ideal person to be our king. He can feed us, he can lead us, he can heal us. What else? But this is not the purpose of the coming of Christ Jesus. And he withdrew. And after this, after all these events, they come to chapter 7. But in verse 21 of chapter 7, Jesus answered them, I did one work, and you all marvel at it. They were just surprised, amazed, marveled of what they saw. But instead of going to him, believe in him, verse 23, we see the reverse. They were angry, and Jesus asked them, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well? So what is the problem? The people received the goodness, the blessings, the healing from Jesus. But they refused to accept him as Christ, Messiah, Savior. And they were angry at him. In order to understand from the background into what was happened actually, and then lead to what is the lesson for all this, we have to look at six questions. So if you read your Bible carefully, you can see the punctuation, the sentence that ends with a question mark. That is question. And of all these six questions, three were asked by the Jews. The Jews asked. And three were asked by Jesus. And what did they ask? The Jews asked, where is he? They were looking for him. For more food, more healing, or more goodies. And they asked another question. In verse 15, how is it that this man has learning when he had never studied? Why did they ask this question? Our common sense would tell us, if a person doesn't study, he would not have knowledge. I think all of us will agree with that. And now they see a man whose name is Jesus. He is so knowledgeable. Knowledgeable in the Word of God, the Bible. But they were amazed. He is not from the theological college that we know. He was not someone among us. He never attend our Bible study. We never see him in our gathering. Where did he get all this learning? They could not tell you of what they have seen and their own knowledge. And then they come to a conclusion. Instead of accept him according to what they have seen, but they refuse. And in verse 20, they come to a conclusion to say, you have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you? Actually, deep in their heart, they not only have the intention to kill Jesus, but they have already planned to kill him. They had a plan already. So these were the three questions asked by the Jews. And then another three questions asked by Jesus. Jesus asked them, has not Moses given you the law? And they know the law very well, the Ten Commandments, plus all the rules and regulations recorded in Leviticus. And why do you seek to kill me? And verse 23, are you angry with me? Why did they angry with him? Because in chapter 5, Jesus healed someone on the Sabbath. As far as the Jews are concerned, this cannot be done. You have 6 days in the week that you can work, and on Sabbath, you must rest. No work at all. But Jesus purposely, and I said purposely, healed. Actually, he could heal the man on any other days, but he purposely healed the man on the Sabbath. And interestingly, the Jews were willing to break the law in order to keep the law. You understand that? Number 6 of the Ten Commandments, what is that? Thou shalt not kill. But in order to keep the law, we must kill this man. Can you see the contradiction? Jesus comes. Do not throw away the law, but to fulfill the law. But these Jews, they want to keep the law by breaking the law. And Jesus came to a direct confrontation with them. And over here, you can see from what Jesus said and what the people do, you can see men's behavior. What you are seeing right now, maybe a lot of things that you cannot understand. Sometimes you may ask, why Christians behave like this? I have so many questions being asked to me. Why so and so do this? Why this and why that? It's very simple. These are all men's behavior, nothing special. And through reading the Bible, we come to understand why men do all this. And then, of course, we want to see the plan, the salvation of Christ Jesus. So if you re-look at chapter 7, verse 4, man would like to be widely known for his own namesake. And because of that, they may do something silly or something beyond what a Christian should do. Verse 18, man speaks on his own authority, seeks his own glory. And this is nothing unusual. Verse 19, Jesus said, none keeps the law. And the Pharisees insisted that we keep the law. Did they? No, they lowered the standard of the law to the extent they thought they can keep. But Jesus came and raised the standard of law that, in fact, without raising the standard, you cannot keep. So thou shalt not kill. The Pharisees say, we keep this commandment. We did not kill. But Jesus said, if you hate one of your brothers, you are killing. You have committed the same offense as a murderer. And verse 20, they attack Jesus. Even to the extent they said, you have a demon. You are demon possessed. And this is personal attack. And further on, although they intend to kill Jesus, but they deny. And since Genesis, the very first book in the Old Testament, men deny. So when Adam and Eve took the fruit that was forbidden, they deny they have sinned. So they said, who is seeking to kill you? And in verse 22, although on Sabbath they should not do anything, but on Sabbath they circumcise a man. And that is according to the law. And interestingly, the law on one hand say you cannot do any work. On the other hand, commanded them, you circumcise. And that is work too. And you cut. One of the instructions on Sabbath, you should not cut the meat, cut the paper. You cannot use knife or scissor or whatever. But they circumcise. And verse 24, men would judge by appearances. So we only look at the outer. We cannot go deep in. And verses 26 and 27, they thought, they imagined, and they only expressed the opinion. We know where this man comes from. Do they really know? We need to train our thought to differentiate facts and opinions. And this is very important. If you see something and then you tell someone, what did you see? Did you say the fact or opinion? And if you analyze, many will forgo the fact and express the opinion. I urge you, we concentrate more on fact, less of your opinion, then we can learn together. But in contrast with man's behavior, we look at Jesus' work. How did Jesus work? How did God plan the salvation, send his son, and how all this were fulfilled? And before we can come to a full understanding, which is quite impossible on earth. But as far as we are concerned, we can learn from the Word of God recorded in the Bible. And if you look at verse 23, Jesus made a man's whole body well. And this was a fact, a miracle done. And we must believe that he can do the same on me and also on all others. And this is the work of Jesus, nothing to do with me or any other people. And verse 24, Jesus said, men judge from the appearances, but he would judge with right judgment. And only Christ Jesus is able to do that. So what does chapter 7 trying to tell us? I know you should have known a lot about John, especially like John 3:16 and or John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and so on. So many verses. But how to put all these things together? And then what you see and you hear and you go through day by day, are these things all tally together? As a Christian, I have to be good. But can you do good? God is good. We should receive good. But as you see the world, from earthquake to tsunami to war, it's happening almost every day in so many places. And look into the smaller circle, our own life, our family, our school and workplace. We see a lot of pain and suffering and problems here and there. Didn't God promise goodness? Didn't God promise life abundant? What is wrong? Or what has gone wrong? And before we come to perfection, come to experience like heaven, of course, in the future, we look forward to that in sure hope of the resurrection. But in the meantime, how are we going to go on? By keeping our walk with Christ Jesus. We need to obey the Lord. But how to obey Him? And I want to pick up from some of the questions just now, and also from some of the verses in chapter 7. You see, when the people look at Jesus, they saw what did he do, and then they think, they said, this man, where did he get all his learning? We do not know how did he learn, but the very fact in front of them is he has such a good knowledge of the Bible. And this is very simple. This is common sense. You learn, you study the Bible, then you would know. And that will happen to all of us. If you spend only a little time to read the Bible, your understanding of your Bible will be just a bit and very fragmented. You need to spend time to read the Bible and read it carefully, and praise God, we have all the help from books and other preachers. And with the IT and computers today, you can log on to listen to a lot of good sermons. And there are many good books available, good information available online. I urge you to read your Bible carefully. Spend some good time with the Lord. You will enjoy it. As you go on the route in obeying the Lord. So this is the first key. Study the Bible. And there is no other way out. And I do hope that not just study, you must enjoy studying the Bible. Don't just read the Bible, one passage or one chapter, then you close it. If you ask yourself, what did you read just now? Cannot remember. Don't waste your time. You must be able to get something out from the Word of God in order to enjoy and to go on. And secondly, You must be willing to do God's will. And this is important. Then you will know all these teachings are from God. You have to decide. I like the hymn, "I have decided. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to turn away from the world. I have decided to carry the cross and to follow Jesus." All these are important. And I praise God today as we witness all these brothers and sisters took a step forward in faith to receive the baptism. And you need the will to do that. And praise God for that. And you need a will to make a will that I want to study the Bible. I want to go on. I want to do the will of God. And then you will come step by step closer to Christ, your Lord. And number three, Jesus said man would seek his own glory, but he would only seek the glory of God. And in him there is no falsehood. And that should be our target, our aim in life too. So besides studying the Bible, you gain knowledge, of course. But the knowledge may not bring you to somewhere. I don't mean knowledge is no good. It's very good, especially studying the Bible. You have the biblical knowledge. That is good, but you should not stop there. You should go one step forward to do the will of God and to seek the glory of God. And I praise God for many brothers and sisters in St. Stephen's. They dedicate themselves to serve God in different capacity, whether come with a name or an office or without. And I praise God for each and every of you. And as you go on obeying the Lord, definitely you will come to trusting him and receive what he has promised. And in fact, in chapter 7, it's a repeat of what we have seen from chapters 1 all the way to 6 and go on. So if you trust Christ Jesus, your whole body well, and you will come to right judgment because you are in him and with him. And you believe, if you believe there is a promise, you will be flowing like the rivers of living water flowing. Jesus told the Samaritan woman all about this already. But did the disciple experience that? Not quite. And here again, a repeat of what he said. And Jesus stood up and shouted, "If you come to me, there will be flowing like the river flowing." And this is the life we should aim for. And go on, when come to chapter 10, Jesus says, "I come that you will receive life, and life even more abundantly." And that is what he has promised. So don't be contented of what you are right now. I think we should aim higher and higher. But let me remind you again, going higher of knowledge, of doing the will of God, and not seeking our own glory, but going higher to seek his glory. May the Lord bless those who are baptized today, and of course, all of us in Christ Jesus.